The Holy Spirit of God inspired John the Apostle to give us three declarative truths or statements about the nature of God. First of all, John wrote in John chapter 1 and verse number 5 that God is light. Then in the Gospel of John in chapter 4 and verse 24, the Bible says that God is a spirit. And then here in the book of 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 8, the Bible says that God is love. So John gives us three declarative statements about God. First of all, in John 1, the Bible says God is light. And then the Bible tells us that God is a spirit. And then the Bible here tells us that God is love. Now there can be no doubt that John's favorite theme was the theme of love. Over and over again, he talked about how that God loved him. In fact, he constantly reveled in the fact that God, the God of heaven, loved him. On one occasion, John said that he was the disciple whom the Lord loved. It was as if he felt that he was the only one in the whole world that God really loved. And what a great thing today to know that God loves us individually, not only as a human race, but God loves each of us individually. And when we contemplate the fact that a holy God loves a sin-filled world and loves sinners like me and you, we ought to be thankful today that God indeed loves us that much. God so loves the world. One grandmother was trying to encourage her granddaughter concerning the love of God and learning more about God. And she said to her daughter, granddaughter, tomorrow we're going to go to Sunday school. And her granddaughter, whose name was Hannah, said, I don't like Sunday school. And the grandmother said, well, we need to go to church and Sunday school and we need to learn about God's love. And little Hannah said, I learned all about that in Illinois. And her grandmother said, well, I've been going to church all of my life and I haven't really learned enough yet. And Hannah said, well, maybe you haven't been paying attention. You know, sometimes I wish the world would just pay attention for just a moment and hear the wonderful message that God loves this world. I love the song in our songbook entitled, The Love of God. I'll not read the entire song, but I think of that chorus, O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints' and angels' song. And we need to constantly, as God's people, be thankful for the love of God. You see, while the love of your friends and maybe even the love of family members may fail and may not be strong, God's love is faithful, and we can be confident in the unchanging love of our God. Now, noticing in this passage, the love of God proclaimed. The Bible says in verse number 7, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Now here we see in verse number 7, the Bible says that love is of God. And in verse number 8, the Bible says that God is love. You see, God's nature is a loving nature. Now, we saw a moment ago that John first tells us that God is light. Therefore, any thought of God being soft or indulgent towards sin must be put away. The fact of the matter is that God is light. He is a holy God. But we also see that God is love. And this was a new concept for those that were receiving John's epistle. Because in the first century, most of the false teachings of that day really taught that deities were to be feared and that the deities hated those who were worshiping them. And so when God's word declared that He was love, it was a revolutionary concept coming down in that first century. But the truth is, the Bible tells us that God is love. And not only that, the Bible says that God's people are characterized by love. For example, when you were born, you came with the characteristics of your parents. Some of you are glad for that, some of you may not be glad for that. Some of you have looked at pictures of your parents and of your grandparents and when they were babies, and you've looked at your baby pictures and you say, boy, look at the resemblance. Why? You bear the nature of your family and the physical resemblance. But spiritually, the Bible says, we are born again by the Spirit of God. And when we are born spiritually, we are to take on the nature of God. And the Bible tells us about the nature of God when it says that God is love. So God's love is proclaimed, first of all, in the Word of God. The Bible says God is love. Secondly, God's love is proclaimed in the nature of His people, expressing that love in the world today. So in verses 7 and 8, we see the love of God proclaimed. Now notice, secondly, the love of God proved. The Bible says in verse number 9, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now we see the love of God is not only proclaimed, but the love of God is also proven here as we look at human history. It was proven in verse number 9 because God manifested it to us. Now the word manifest means to make visible. God made His love visible to us. And He did that, according to verse 9, when He gave His only begotten Son. Now, it has been said that you can love, or you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. And because God loves you and me, He gave His only begotten Son. Because God is love, He communicated that love to you and to me. And we see the Bible says in verse number 9 that He gave His only begotten Son. That means a one-of-a-kind Son. In fact, Jesus Christ was God manifested in the flesh. He was the second person of the deity. Here we see then that Jesus Christ was deity wrapped in humanity. Romans says He was the righteousness of God revealed. On one occasion in John chapter 14 and verse number 10, Jesus said to one of His disciples, "He that hath seen Me hath seen the Father." And so it is that when someone saw the Lord Jesus Christ, they were looking at God and seeing the manifestation of God before them. And so God proved His love when He sent His only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, long before Joseph Smith ever concocted Mormonism, the doctrine of the deity of Jesus Christ stood true. Long before the Jehovah Witness cult was started, there was the doctrine of the deity of Jesus Christ. And it's important when we study the term, the only begotten Son. We're not talking here about a mere man, but we're talking about God being manifested in the flesh. Now, someone might say, well, why do we have to defend His deity? Why do we even name the names of false teachers from time to time? Because of the reason that Jesus came. Now, follow this in verse 10. The Bible says, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." You see, Jesus Christ came to be the propitiation, or the payment for our sins. Now, Jesus is God's only payment for sin. And because He is the only payment for sin, you and I must protect His person, the doctrine of His deity, and we must uphold it before a lost and a dying world. He came, He gave His only begotten Son, the Bible says, and He came to be a propitiation. Now, the word propitiation means a payment or a satisfaction. God needed to have a payment for sin because God is a righteous God. Someone might ask you sometime, well, why did Jesus Christ have to die on the cross like that? And why the propitiation in that way? And it goes back to what we said a moment ago, because God is light. God is a righteous God. God had a demand that somewhere a payment for sin needed to be made. And that payment was made by the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn in your Bible over to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. And let's notice here in verse number 23 what the Bible says. Romans 3 and verse 23 says it this way. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. Now we see in verse 23 the Bible declaring that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There you see that God is light, God is just, and that we did not reach the mark. But the Bible says that God sent a propitiation, which we said means a satisfaction or a payment for that sin. And that propitiation was the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why the Bible says that we can have this propitiation through faith in His blood. When we put our faith in the Lord Jesus and His finished work, our sins are covered, the righteous demand of God is met, and we can be saved at that moment by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God proved His love when He sent the Lord Jesus Christ. I read about a 36-year-old mother this past week who was discovered to be in the advanced stages of cancer. And this particular lady, as she was in the advanced stages of terminal cancer, was advised by one doctor that she should take maybe her last 2 or 3 months of life and during that time maybe go to a resort somewhere and just kind of enjoy as much as she could the last few months of her life. Another doctor said to her, he said, look, I think I might be able to help you if you would just give me a little bit of time. I'll try to put together for you a scenario through chemotherapy and other treatments where you might be able to live as long as 2 years. And he said there will be a lot of pain and a lot of side effects if we go this route, but you might be able to live a little bit longer. And that 36-year-old mother penned the following words to her 3 small children. She said, I've chosen to try to survive for you. This has some horrible costs, including pain, loss of good humor, and moods I won't be able to control. But I must try this, if only on the outside chance that I might live 1 minute longer. And that minute could be the one you might need me the most, and when no one else will do. For this I intend to struggle tooth and nail, so help me God. And I thought about that kind of love. I thought about a mother's love who would endeavor to live that much longer just for the simple fact that she might be able to help her children. And yet I think about the greatest love the world has ever known. And that was when God took the form of man. And when He died upon a cross, there the nails were driven through His hands and driven through His feet. There the spear was thrust through His side. There the blood came pouring down. Why? That God's love would be made known to a lost and dying world. That's why the Bible says in verse number 14, back in 1 John chapter 4, the Bible says these words, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. You see, Jesus Christ did not come to bring political reform. Jesus Christ did not come to just simply heal and do good works, though He did that. But Jesus came primarily to be the Savior of this world. Jesus came to die on that cross to pay for sins. And you hear me, no organization can cover sin. You yourself cannot cover sin. But Jesus Christ, when He died on the cross and shed His blood, became the covering for sin. And when a man realizes that he's lost without Jesus and that he's on his way to a Christless hell without Jesus Christ, and he says, Lord, as a sinner, I ask You to save me, at that moment the covering is given to him and he's saved by the blood of Jesus Christ and he has a wonderful home in heaven. So we see in 1 John, God's love is proclaimed, yes. But we see furthermore that God's love is proven because of the manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And thank God that the Bible tells us concerning the manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice, not only do we see God's love proclaimed, God's love is proven, but notice thirdly then, God's love is to be practiced. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Now the Bible says that if God's love is in our life, then it's to be practiced day in and day out from our life. The Bible says in verse 11, we're to love one another. The Bible says something in verse 12 that I think is amazing. You'll notice it with me. It says, if we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. In other words, God says, I want my love to come to completion. I want my love to be made manifest. You know, it's amazing in life. A lot of people say, oh, I love you, and I want to be your friend. And then the first time they don't get their way, that all changes. But the Bible says for the Christian that God's love should be perfected in the Christian's life. Now, notice what it says there in verse number 12. No man hath seen God at any time. None of you have seen God the Father. None of us have seen God the Son. One day we will. That'll be a great day. No man has seen God at any time, but guess what? They see us. And that's why the Bible says God wants his love to be perfected in our lives. Verse 13 tells us, hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. You see, friend, when someone accepts Jesus as Savior, the Holy Spirit of God comes into their life at that moment. And it is the Spirit of God that causes us to be able to love the way that God would have us to love. Romans chapter 5 and verse 5 says it this way, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. God, because he loves us, gives to us salvation by Jesus Christ. At the moment we're saved, we receive the Holy Spirit of God. And it's because of God's Spirit in my life that I can love people that normally I would not love. That you can love people that normally you would not love. Why? Because the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. And his love is perfected in your life. G. Campbell Morgan was a great preacher in yesteryear in Great Britain. He had five sons who were also preachers. And one day G. Campbell Morgan was having lunch with his five sons. And there, as they were enjoying their meal together, a friend came by and he asked a simple question. He said, let me ask you something. He said, who is the greatest preacher in this family? And those five preachers and their preacher daddy looked around and all of them in unison said, why, our mother is. Our mother is. Though she had never preached a sermon a day in her life was a sermon. And your life is too. Either it's a cantankerous, complaining kind of a life, or it's a joyful, Christian, loving life. Boy, there's nothing like seeing a Christian who really has the love of God perfected in their life. There's a joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. And God is a God of love, and someone who's been born again by the Spirit of God is a person who has love in their heart and who exhibits that love and speaks of that love and lives it day by day. God proved his love on Calvary when he provided his salvation. And you and I can be very involved in perfecting or displaying that love as we yield our lives to the Holy Spirit of God within us and as we evidence it before a lost and a dying world.